This podcast is part of the MyPodcast.com network. Go online right now and get your very own 100% free podcast, MyPodcast.com.
Welcome to Transform, the weekly podcast featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, Transformation Pastor of the First Baptist Church of Palos Verdes, California. It's Christmas, a time of hope, and in today's episode, Jesus came to present us with hope. Pastor Matt draws our attention to the coming or arrival of Jesus. The focus of the entire season is a celebration of the birth of Jesus the Christ in his first coming and the anticipation of the return of Christ the King in his second coming. Thus, Christmas is a time for celebrating our hope in Christ, the revelation that through Christ, all of creation might be reconciled to God. Christmas reflects this emphasis on the second coming, including themes of accountability for faithfulness at his coming, judgment on sin, and the hope of eternal life. Since hope comes from looking for Jesus' soon return, Christmas is a great time to focus on his second coming. Let me encourage you now to open your Bible to James 5 and allow Pastor Matt to encourage your heart as he teaches the congregation in Palos Verdes to look forward to the soon return of Jesus Christ.
Tis the season to watch Christmas shows. What's your favorite Christmas time show? Just shout it out to me. The Grinch Stole Christmas. Are you reading my notes? A Wonderful Life. How many of you like A Wonderful Life? I've seen it 400 times. No, I'm kidding. What's the one that we like to make fun of? You'll shoot your eye out. What's that called? A Christmas Story. How many of you have a real live replica gift award lamp? How many? Amy's got one. Look at that, okay? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I'm just overwhelmed and shocked by some of this stuff that we that's become part of our Christmas. I don't know what the word for it is. It's just so funny. It's part of the Christmas genre and custom and culture now. And you and I are just working in this whole process to assimilate. However, I'm always laughing when the Grinch comes out to be first. I'm always laughing. I'm always laughing at that. I always think that's funny because because why? What's the spirit of season all about? What's it supposed to be, I guess is a better way. It's supposed to be about what? Jesus. It's supposed to be about Jesus. And Jesus brings us what? Hope. And Jesus brings us peace. And he brings us... And what is one of our... What was the first thing that we talked about at Christmas? We talked about... What's your favorite Christmas program? The Grinch. Bah, humbug. You know, we love to watch... the Dickens Christmas Carol. We love to watch it in all of its incarnations. You know, it's come out. Our favorite one is with Henry Winkler and the American Christmas Carol. We love that. But why is it we like to watch grumpy people at Christmas? Why is that? Now, if you say, I don't do that, yes, you do. You go to the you go shopping in the mall. Oh, has the Grinch or has Scrooge cloned himself this year? Oh my goodness. It's amazing to me how many people in this time of joy, whether it's Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Christ in Christmas, the message is hope. Why are so many people grumpy? People's patience are frayed. They are at the edge, and as the moral fiber of our society continues to pull out thread after thread, people are more and more grumpy every Christmas. The barometer of how our nation goes is just at the mall this weekend. It's nasty sometimes. Any of you get involved in one of those after Thanksgiving sales where you went to get those things and the very last one was on the shelf and you wanted it and so did three other people? I was in one of those many years ago and vowed never to do that again. Lady chased me through the store. It's a true story. Chased me through the store trying to take it out of my cart when I was not watching. Okay? You see, for many of us, Christmas is a time of frayed nerves. And to be honest, most of us are getting short on patience. Every year it seems to be more and more so. The shopping can push us over the edge in crowded malls and weekend. As we talked about last week, we can be in the parking lot and people beeping their horns at us, and we can be a little less than Christ-like. By the time we return to our homes at night from these events and maybe a heavy week, and this is always a difficult time in business, we're exhausted and we're exasperated, and then somebody says, "Where's dinner?" and "Fix it yourself!" Snaps out, and you don't even realize it comes out of you until it's out. And then you realize the barometer of your soul is not showing good weather. You see, but we find out at Christmas that we can be patient today and every day because we know that Jesus is coming again soon. You remember that song in the 70s by John W. Peterson? "Coming again." You know, and we all used to sing it. Then we stopped singing it, and then the temperature of the church started to go colder again as we realize more and more that there is hope. Jesus Christ is bringing hope. Listen, hope is not in this life. Well, we know she's in Pahrumpf today, but... Sorry, those of you who don't know, Hope and Tom are in Pahrumpf, Nevada today. So, okay. But hope is not in this life. I have to say that because she'll listen to the message and she'll say, "I'm right here." She always does when I talk about hope. Hope's not in this life. Hope's not about this life. Hope's about the life to come. We forget we're Americans. We live for the now. We live for what we can get now. And we forget that. Hope is for the future. And this candle that has been lit today, this candle has been lit to remind us Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming. In fact, have you read this passage? Would you just read it with me, please? Off the screen. It's from Revelation 21. This is a brief description of what being with Jesus is going to be like. Would you read it with me? "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, the home of God is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all their sorrows, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain.'" How many say amen?
Amen.
"For the old world and its evils are gone forever." Hallelujah. You see, what's the first thing that happens when you get there? Keep reading with me. Now I'm going to continue reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Would you read with me? What happens when we all get to heaven? Remember that old hymn? "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing." Well, it's probably going to be a day of rejoicing. And then this happens. Here we go. "Because of God's special favor to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful." It's talking about the foundation of faith. "For no one can lay any other foundation than the one we have already have, Jesus Christ. Now, anyone who builds on that foundation may use gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw, but there is going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work each builder has done. Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. If the work survives the fire, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builders themselves will be saved, but like someone escaping through a wall of flames." You see, when Jesus comes, you and I have to give a personal account of everything we've done. And we get that personal account so he can reward you, so he can give you what your deeds or my deeds deserve. And out of that, he will assign positions for eternity. What will you do? He will assign you a position. He will assign you a task, and that will be your job forever and ever when you're with him. In fact, this is what Revelation 2 says. Would you read it with me, please? "To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with a rod of iron and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. You're going to be able to rule and reign with Christ, but it's based on your reward, which comes from that account that you and I get when Jesus comes. That's our hope. When Jesus comes, you're going to have a place with Him. And since we'll soon be with Jesus, since we'll soon walk with Him, He's coming back quickly, our daily life can be greatly affected by that if we focus on His imminent soon return. I always tell my students this. Have you ever done something really horrible as a sin? And they all, of course, like all of us, you know, oh yeah, okay. Now, you're horrible and you're horrible and you're horrible are all different, but we're not going to tell you, we're not going to shout out, you're horrible. We're not going to do that, okay? But how would you have felt if Jesus would have returned at one of your most horrible moments? Yeah, maybe to save you, but not if you're perpetrating it, right? Okay? Rescue me out of it, but if I'm doing something terrible, that keeps me at bay. I mean, that always, he can, there's not, no sign. Now look at what Jesus said. Read it with me. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Do you like that? John's writing, this is the end of the book. Okay, John's writing. And he who testifies is Jesus. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. Close the quote. What does John say? What's his response? Editorial comment? Amen. And then, that's not enough. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Now, some of you know what that feels like. Some of you don't have a clue what that feels like. But some of you know what that feels like. John said, it's enough. I'm done. Come. Come. Now, this is a cute little phrase. And I think you and I ought to learn it. Because this is what the candle of hope is all about. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Your hope, listen to me. American evangelical churches have gotten lost somewhere. It's not about how to have a happy family, although that comes with Christ. It's not about how to be healthy, although that comes with Christ. It's not about how to have all that you can possibly have. It's not about how to all of these things that are American dreams. The dream of the Christ follower is right there on the screen that John uttered as the closest one to Jesus of all time. He uttered it, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Why? Why do you want Jesus to come? Because we want to be with Him. And He's not here yet. Have you noticed? He's not here yet. Would you say this phrase with me? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That could be your prayer this week. That could be your prayer. You see, the answer to impatience, if you're filling in the blanks, the answer to impatience is our constant focus on the soon return of Christ Jesus. He's coming back. He's coming back. And Paul reveals this knowledge should cause us to be patient and to act in three ways. Just run them off for you. Look at this. First, we need to be patient until the Lord returns by waiting. How many of you are good at waiting? Can I just see your hands? How many are good at waiting? You know, I never get anybody raising their hands or just one or two people. James is good at waiting, yeah. Now, he's waiting for me to give him his present. I have it right here, James, by the way. I have your Christmas present right here. And since you're so good at waiting, I thought, man, I'd go ahead and give it to you now. Merry Christmas. You know, I love this man.
Thank you.
God bless you. I love this man. Thank you. Thank you. James is a pleasure to work with. You know, you got to be patient. You've seen the cartoon, right? You've seen the cartoon? Lord, give me patience. You know what the rest of the saying is, don't you? And give it to me right now. Okay. But farmers, maybe some of you come from farm country in your past, or maybe you have relatives who are friends who are farmers. Farmers, they wait and wait and wait. Dear brothers, you must be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. How do I have to be patient, Lord? Consider the farmers who eagerly look for the rains in the fall and in the spring, and they wait patiently for the precious harvest to ripen. In Iowa, we used to go out in the evening and drive around in the countryside. And if it's been good at rain, and it's been good at sun, and it's warm, you can hear the corn grow. It's an amazing sound. It's kind of like, You really can. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And that's what the farmer does. And he goes out. I have so many friends that are farmers. And they go out and they walk the rows. And they wait. And they wait. And they wait. And they wait. Oh, they're patient. You know, sometimes life becomes very difficult, doesn't it? It becomes hard. And we don't. How many of you have to admit that you would like the motto to be yours? Come on, this is just real life. I mean, come on. We don't put on your church face today. Just be honest. How many of you really kind of operate more under the Burger King motto than the one that John just gave us a few minutes ago was even so, come Lord Jesus, I'll wait for him until he comes. But I want to have it my way. And part of my way is now. How many would just admit that's kind of, you kind of operate? I do. Yeah, sure. I'm like that. Yeah, I get that way. That's just called sin, and it's part of our nature. And when life gets hard, and especially at Christmas time, and we do these worship services to haul us all back, don't we? Haul us all back to remember what? Christ is the meaning of Christmas. Christ is the meaning of Christmas. And I need to be patient because he's coming again. See, if you don't have a coming again part of your theology, your Christianity can get all mucked up, all messed up. Because if Jesus is coming again, you realize you need to get ready. How many of you are preparing for guests at your house this Christmas season? Can I just see your hands? Oh my, isn't that fun? Oh, isn't that fun? Oh my, all the cleaning. And we had a dear friend, Betty, used to tell us that she'd do her cleaning after you left. Okay, not before. And we've been to her house, and that's probably true. You see, most of us would admit, though, if on second thought we would deny this, most of us would admit if we were in a moment of sheer transparency, that God seems sometimes to be late at answering our prayers, late from rescuing us from our difficulties, and late from comforting our hurts and our feelings that are just broken. And then we grab a hold of it and say, oh, well, he's always on time. But when we're crying through the pain, sometimes it feels like he's late. And part of that problem is our patience and our need for patience. And patience is built on a foundation of trust, and we have to trust God. And that's why he takes us to the next step. And he says, be patient until the Lord returns by strengthening your heart with courage. You too must be patient. Turn to your neighbor and say, you too must be patient. You must be patient. Well, why not? What's the option? If you're not patient, Irma Bombeck says you're just stripping your gears all the time. And you know people like that. And pretty soon they're just a mess. But when you be patient, what do you have to do? And take courage. You see, courage is an emotion you can actually get some of from somebody else, from something else. There's a bucket of courage, a barrel of courage, a well of courage. You can go and get some. Take courage. Where do you get the courage from? The coming of the Lord's near. Just keep remembering, he's coming back for you. He's coming back. Take some courage. Be patient. Be patient. Why? Pastor, nothing's changed. Been around here for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years on this planet. What? Why should I be patient? Why should I take courage? Because when he comes back, listen, every wrong will be made right. Every sorrow will be comforted. Every pain will be healed. Every obstacle will be removed. Every body will be transformed. Every hope will be realized. And every sacrifice will be rewarded. Take courage. Take courage. When you're just about ready to strip your gears, Jesus is coming back. Don't worry. He'll take care of it. He'll take care. You don't need to take care of it. He'll take care of it. And third, be patient, we're told, until the Lord returns by praising others from a heart of genuine love. Now, again, I go back to the beginning. I know somebody must have helped me out with the message. Our favorite Christmas show is what? The Grinch. And those people. And you remember what the Grinch's problem was? What was the Grinch's problem? That he was the Grinch because of what? His heart was too small. Do we identify with that? Is that our problem? Is that why we grumble and groan and attack and criticize Is that why we're like that? Our heart is too small? I think so. I think so. But look at what it says. Would you read it out loud with me, the scripture, verse 9? Don't grumble about each other, my brothers and sisters, or God will judge you. Look, the great judge is coming. He's standing at the door. Remember what I said? When we all get to heaven, what's the first thing we get to do? We go through that fire. Everything we've ever done goes through the fire. And we're rewarded by position and place for all of eternity for our task. That's what James is trying to say. I was around Jesus a long time. He made a big deal about this to me. That's what James says. I know what he's talking about. Paul says that. I didn't wander around with him for 3 years, but boy, he made a big deal about this. Made a big deal about this when he talked to me about it. You get out of the car, that cold ocean breeze whacks you in the head. Maybe you drop something. You get in, you go to get a cart, there aren't any left. You wander around the parking lot looking for one, like you're looking for some stray sheep. Where's my dog? Where's my cart? You know, you finally get it and you go in, and as you're walking in the door, I'm telling you a current scenario, okay? The lady or the guy, I don't remember which it was, comes tearing in with his cart and rams into mine and crash over to the side, and I feel more like Scrooge than I do the Savior. And you know what my tendency is? It's just like yours. Hey! And I remember, I just need to be a little more patient. I just have to grab a little harder out of the bucket of courage. Jesus is coming back. By the way, he's probably taking a video of this right now. I say to myself, I don't want to have to see it up on the big screen in eternity, which the scripture tells me we're going to be able to see. See, I can't grumble about those things. Grumbling is a disease. Have you noticed? Tabitha's been sick for over a week. She's been giving it to people. She believes in sharing in the Christmas season. Grumbling is a disease. And we know where it comes from because we realize that his impending return, Jesus' impending return, and the impending judgment isn't gripping us enough as it should. And the Bible teaches us that we need to grab a hold of the reality that there is something at work inside. How many of you still struggle with your sin nature? Could I see your hands? Still fighting the thing? Goodness gracious. Those things that I do not want to say, I say. And those things that I do not want to do, I do. Those things that I want to do, I do not do. I feel just like Paul sometimes. I feel so spiritual just like him. I'm such a problem. And then remember what he said though. Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. The victory comes in Jesus. And I realize that my old sin nature hates anything that doesn't take care of me. Burger King, I want it my way. Maybe you notice this. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. When my heart grows like the Grinch, you remember there on that precipice, you remember? His heart grew 5 times or whatever it was, and he breaks the little x-ray machine, and he picks up the sleigh. That's what love does. That's what the hope of Jesus coming again does. It causes our heart to grow. That's what the choir is going to sing about this morning, is that hope that we have in Christ. You see, there's two things this passage teaches me. And the first one, I don't like at all. If I share something that causes another person strife, I'm showing that I hate the person that I'm sharing about. The Bible calls this action gossip. The Bible calls it, there's a whole bunch of things. The Bible calls this action grumbling. The Bible calls this action murmuring. When I'm out in a cart, shopping cart, and I just lose it, I don't love that person. The Bible says I'm literally hating them when I... Or when that person on the freeway, you know how it is, person on the freeway, and you just decide you're going to just do a little road rage on them. None of you ever do road rage. I know that. I know. That's just hatred coming out of us. My mother used to say it this way. She would translate this verse. I didn't even know she was using this verse. She would say, that's the orneriness coming out of you. We all have it in us. Thanks be to God, it doesn't have to be that way. You see, if I cover something that would cause another person strife, I'm showing that I love the person that I refuse to share about. The Bible calls that Christ-like love. This last week, I was out and about just like you were. And there was this homeless man who kept accosting me for some money. You're going to get a lot of that this season. And I wasn't in a very Christ-like mood. I was in a hurry. Hurry always seems to tear away our godliness. And I wanted to so desperately just tell him to leave me alone. And then I remembered what I was preaching on this Sunday. And Jesus was coming back. And I know, James, when he's going to come back. He's going to come back right when I'm going to yell at this guy. I know that. I know that. It's going to happen like that. And so I took some courage and I turned around and I said, "Are you hungry?" And he said, "No, I just want to buy some booze." And I said, "Well, if you were hungry, I was going to buy you a steak. But since you're just going to buy some booze, I'm not going to be able to help you." But I didn't go blast all over him. Patience, folks. Patience. He's coming again. That's what this candle's all about. Patience. Hold on. Like a farmer. Hold on. Take some courage. He's going to make it right. Hold on. Don't get grumpy. Don't become the Scrooge. You know, I'm not handing out little Scrooges today on the way out. I'm not doing that. I probably could have. That would have been fun, a fun little reminder. I'm not going to do that. I'm just telling you, we can be like Jesus. And as James and the choir who prepared so well for this day will now come and they will sing the gospel, I want you to listen to the words of hope and expectation and peace and joy. I want you to listen as they lift up the name of the Lord Jesus, because this is what it's all about this season, to be patient and to love, to share Jesus with others. Let's pray. Dear God, we stop right now to admit our need for hope this Christmas. And we understand how to gain that hope. I realize I must wait for your return, and that means I must trust you and your timing and your character. And I must strengthen my faith by exercising courage that you're returning to set everything right. You'll take care of things. And finally, I must stop grumbling about the things that frustrate me or the people that frustrate me or irritate me or injure me, especially if they're Christ followers, but even if they're not. Instead, we have to praise them for their positive traits. Not everybody's perfect. In fact, no one is, except Jesus. God, today I pray that you'd help make us doers of the word, not hearers only. Help us this week. When we grow frustrated and we grow impatient, help us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
And with that final word, we hope you will begin taking steps necessary to receive the forgiveness of life through God's love. God wants you to enjoy His love. All you have to do is open your heart and speak to Him today. You can learn more about this great love of God by reading Pastor Matt's new book, In His Image. Check it out at our website and learn more about the ministry and resources of Dr. Matthew Lee Smith at eaglesinleadership.org. This podcast was recorded and edited in Palos Verdes, California by Tabitha Grace Smith. All material contained therein is copyrighted under the Creative Commons license, so please do not rebroadcast without permission. To contact Pastor Matt, you can email him at transformedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also call the Transformed comment line and leave a message at any time. The number is 206-350-0019. Join us next Sunday as Pastor Matt encourages us to be transformed through the love of God. And until next time, I'm your host, Mike Powers, asking you to remember, God created you to love you.